This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner and Mike Grenham in the studio for the return of the PGA Tour season this week with the Fries.com Open joining the Portugal Masters on the European Tour. So two big events to get stuck into in due course. But first of all, a quick word on Oliver Wilson's performance in the Alfred Dunhill Links, Mike. 229 starts without a win. Finally gets one. And the outpouring of good feeling towards him on Twitter in particular was absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it was, Dave. Well done, Oliver. I didn't follow him financially. I don't suppose many people did.
I don't think anyone did.
I was a bit disappointed with our guys at the weekend, Dave. Jacqueline and Harrington were right in the mix, weren't they, at halfway, but didn't really go forward, did they, really?
No, they were bang there, looking forward to a good Sunday.
I don't give a monkey's about Oliver Wilson. I'm more interested in my bets, thanks.
It's true, and I feel exactly the same way, Mike.
Well done, Oliver.
Yeah, well done, Oliver. Podrick Harrington, Raphael Jacqueline, pull your
must
socks
do better
up
at the weekend, boys. Yeah,
absolutely. One other bugbear, and yes, I think we say this every single year on the podcast, the amateurs should bow out after Saturday. They've played around each venue.
Yeah.
That should be it.
See,
for the team competition. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
We've got to concentrate on the professionals here.
Yeah, agreed.
Let's get stuck into this week then, Mike, because this is a pretty big golfing week.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm glad that PGA season's back. It's so long, isn't it? It's such a long time off. The off-season, is it 2 weeks or three?
It's 2.5, maybe, shall we say. It is back, the PGA Tour season.
It's like those baking programmes. They're on the television the whole time.
It's the come down with me of sport, the PGA Tour. We'll start off with the Portugal Masters. Shane Lowry is the 14-1 favourite. Bernd Wiesberger and Tommy Fleetwood both 16-1. Danny Willett, Francesco Molinari, Nicholas Coulthart, Richie Ramsey and Robert Carlson all 25s, and it's 28s bar. After last week's weather in Scotland, now is the time for the European Tour to make its move.
Yeah.
And we go to the Algarve for the Portugal Masters.
Nice.
And for the eighth consecutive season, the Oceanico Victoria Golf Course is the host for this championship. It's most definitely, Mike, a resort course, offers the players opportunities to make birdies. As you can see from the winning scores, putting is going to be important, but maybe it's not the absolute be-all and end-all.
What do you think is?
Well, I just
hitting
think
it close.
Yeah, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And you look at the last two winners, David Lynn and Shane Lowry, they both putted brilliantly.
Yep.
But the three that preceded them, Tom Lewis, Richard Green and Lee Westwood, relied on their ball striking from tee to green. Nothing really stood out statistically
for me,
but the cream has tended to rise to the top here.
To a certain extent, yeah. I mean, Tom Lewis, a couple of them maybe not so much, but I agree with you. It's hard to say that there's a key attribute statistics-wise. Mm. I think you've just got to score low, haven't you, and hit the ball, hit greens in reg, and then putt decently, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. I think putting is important. Both venues, I think putting will be important this week.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
Shall we
kick on?
Yeah, let's kick on. Let's get stuck into the selections. And I've got a couple, and I've got a few actually, but as always, a few honourable mentions as well.
Well, I've got three picks in Portugal, so have you got two?
I've got three as well.
Oh, you go first then.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going with George Kutsaya as my headline pick here at 33-1. Winner of the Joburg Open, his first tour title earlier on in the season. Fully expect him to go from strength to strength over the course of the next 12 to 18 months. Maybe I'm incorrect in that assertion. That's my assertion anyway.
Yep.
All his best form, though, comes in warmer climates. The weather's a little bit dodgy this week. Some thunderstorms
in Portugal,
expected in Portugal,
is
apparently.
Right, okay.
But it will be warm, and you only have to look back through his form over the past five seasons on tour to see that his best performances do come either in his native South Africa or the likes of Qatar and Abu Dhabi. Mm. And this is a venue as well where he has excelled. Two starts here, third in 2011, sixth in 2012. I think it's a venue he likes because it is similar to some courses in South Africa. He can just hit the ball off the tee here. Even if he's wayward, give it a blast, find it, hit it again. It's not a golf course that punishes the wayward driver. No. And I think that suits George Kutsaya, and that's why he's prospered here. Good week with the putter, essential. If he has a good week, I think he'll contend. And he played well in the Dunhill last week as well, to finish 25th after a month off the course. Yeah. So hopefully he'll be fully primed this week. Good finish to the season expected for Kutsaya. So I'll go a point each way at 33s.
Fair dues, Dave. My headline pick is Pablo Larrazabal at 40s. I do like Kutsaya. I think he's got a chance. But Larrazabal at 40s is my man. Fifth in the KLM, then missed the cut in Wales, which wouldn't have been his cup of tea, before finishing 32nd in the Dunhill last weekend. He's a decent putter, is Pablo. He's a little bit volatile. He's not a man I'd take on, you know, if he was a favourite or anything, but won in Abu Dhabi earlier this season, top 10s in a number of places, including Wentworth and the BMW that's in Germany, also in Malaysia. So had a good season, got a win, another win to his name. Will be looking to finish off in style, and has got some good course form. 22nd, 11th, 63rd and 8th in his last four turnouts here in Villamora. So, yeah, I like his chance at 40s, Pablo Larrazabal.
He's a nutcase, isn't he?
He's a bit mad.
He's a little bit mad.
But I don't mind a bit of that. I work with you, so...
you can accept it.
Yeah.
I like it. Pablo Larrazabal, 40-1 here with Hills.
Yeah.
Second pick could almost be the headline here. I was torn between
George Kutsaya. Is it a co-headline?
Co-headliner. Robert Jan Derksen at 66-1 is my second selection. Had a great story with Oliver Wilson at the Alfred Dunhill. It's sometimes a bit too much to ask Lightning to strike twice in as many weeks, but this would be a good story as well, because he's retiring at the end of the season, Robert Jan Derksen.
Is he?
Yeah, at 40 years old, he's declared his intention to stop at the end of the year, just because of how intense the schedule is, really, and he doesn't enjoy it as much as he used to do.
What's he going to do?
I think he's going into course design and management and running his own golf centre, I believe. But he's expressed a desire to see out his career at the DP World Tour Championship. He's currently 70th in the race to Dubai, so needs a good week either this week or in a couple of weeks' time in Hong Kong to get into that top 60. But he's played some superb golf recently. Was fantastic at the Dunhill Links. Actually shot a 63 at Carnoustie last week in soft conditions. Closed with a 70 at St Andrews, left him just a shot outside the top 10. He's made four straight cuts. Already has two top five finishes this season and has superb form here as well, Mike. His figures here read 12, 16, 12, 17, 44th, 16th and 8th.
Nice.
He's made the cut on all seven appearances here. And although his last win was way back in 2005, it came in the Madeira Islands Open in Portugal.
Oh.
So there's a little bit of a link there.
Big link, yeah.
I reckon he's seeing out his career really strongly.
He's going
and
for it.
He's really, yeah, I think it's galvanised him. Knowing this is his last chance, he's really starting to play his best golf. So I like him this week a lot. Robert Jan Derksen, 66-1.
Got great course on, hasn't he, as you rightly say.
Yep.
I'm taking a couple of spins with my last two picks. They're both treble figure odds, so, you know, could blow out, but with a bit of luck. They're both winners this season as well, by the way. But to start with the first one, Felipe Aguilar is my second pick. Third here a couple of years ago. In kind of average form over the last few events, mixing a few top 25s, not top 10s, a few top 25s, but did win at Laguna with a minus 22 underscore. And I think you're going to have to go very low this week again. It's going to be around about 20-under, isn't it, the win?
You'd think so, yeah. They're anomalies, but you'd expect so.
Yeah, I would think it'd be something like that. I think it'd be around about that, personally. His greens in regulation and his accuracy are excellent. His putting is not, so he'll need to have a good week with the putter. But we say that every week about someone, so it's not exactly rocket science that you need a good week with the putter. He needs to be better with the putter is the key, I suppose. 125, I think he is he, old Felipe?
Yep.
I think he'll give us a good run for our money at that price. As I say, he was third here just in 2011. Admit the last 2 years only made top 40 both years. But I'm willing to take a chance on this 2014 winner, Aguilar, at 125s in this field. I think if he puts well, I think he could go very well.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. Felipe Aguilar, big price, 125-1. My third selection is really speculative, even though he's not as big a price as Aguilar. I'm going to shove in Matteo Manassero this week at 100-1.
It's a big price, dude.
It is. I'm having a smaller bet on him because his form credentials are not there for everyone to see. But he's won every year on tour since 2010. And I believe his talent dictates that he shouldn't be 100-1 in a bog standard European tour event like this one. There's little doubt if you look through his form figures, he has struggled recently. It wasn't that long ago, though, that he was posting top finishes in the Scottish Open and the Open Championship. And he's got a little bit of form here as well, having finished 12th a couple of years ago when closing with a 65. He's a top-class player.
It's too good to be that price.
Matteo Manassero. I think he is too good to be that price. And those are exactly my sentiments. I think he's too good to be that price.
I've got three players that I think are a bit overpriced that I'm nearly putting in. He's the top one there, you see. I agree with you. I was very tempted by him myself. His form, you know, he's not very good at the moment, but his ability, I'm looking at the field. He is the most talented player in this field, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
He's better than Lowry and Wiesberger and Fleetwood, who are the favourites. He's not playing that way at the moment, which is why he's a big price, but talent wise, he's the best player in the field. I have no doubt about that. So 100-1, you might have talked me into backing him.
Yeah, so I'm just going to go half a point each way on Matteo Manassero.
Form is a real question mark. Yes. Ability, at his best, he would win this. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that, given his talent, there's going to be some upturn in his form towards the end of this season. Yeah, you definitely hope so.
No, I had a good look at him myself, Dave, I have to say, and you've fired my enthusiasm a bit. Henny Otto is my third pick, and I missed the bus with Henny Otto, having talked about him a couple of times earlier this season, and he ended up winning in Italy, didn't he?
Yep.
And I wasn't on. Oh, dear. So that was painful. And I may well be at the funeral rather than at the wedding here, but I just think he's got good form in this event. The last 4 years, he's finished 27th, 16th, 37th, and then 6th last year. Hasn't done a lot since Italy. Missed a couple of cuts. Didn't play very well at the Dunhill at the weekend. But this will be more his cup of tea. Again, a South African, nice, hopefully reasonably warm weather. Has had a good season with the putter. Hits greens in regulation. Likes the course. For a winner of not very long ago, the Italian Open wasn't that long ago. He's now out to 100-1 again. I think that's probably a little bit of an overreaction.
Yeah.
This isn't the best field of all time, as we know. So Otto at 100-1 caught my eye as someone who could give us a good run for our money.
Okay. Six picks in total there between us, Mike. Who narrowly missed out?
Well, Manassero was on my mind. And outsiders-wise, I thought Gary Stahl might be someone that would catch your eye.
Yeah, definitely. I looked at him. He's 125-1, which seems fair for a man with his undoubted ability. Played pretty well last week. Played pretty well the last two times he's been seen on the golf course.
Yeah, he's a big price, maybe at 125. He was on my mind, and I'm expecting to see Rafa Cabrera-Bello come back to a bit of form on a course that he's done well at before. Mm. Of the market leaders, Dave, you know, I really like Lowry and Wiesberger, but they're very short in the market this week.
Yeah.
The favourites are very short. Fleetwood, you know, their overall career records don't justify those odds. They're very good players, and I really like them. I mean, I love Lowry and Wiesberger, but short.
There were a couple of players floating around that 40-1 mark that nearly got in for me. Mikko Ilinen was one of them.
You like him?
I do like him.
Did I win last week's free lunch
bet? You did. We got all square with the free lunch bets last week. I was disappointed. He looked like he was massively out of contention. Then he started creeping up a little bit.
On Wiesberger.
Yeah, yeah. Wiesberger in the end. Mikko Ilinen missed the Saturday cut by a shot, and Wiesberger went on to post a decent finish.
He did.
But Mikko Ilinen 40-1. I last week's field was a lot better, and he's a similar sort of price again on the back of one missed cut. I don't buy into that very much, just the one missed cut there. So I'm not a great believer.
It's a funny event here, Dunhill, as well.
Yeah,
with all the,
there's lots
of factors, isn't there? Different courses, amateurs, weather.
Yeah.
Different, yeah. Don't worry about that. I don't put me off anyone.
No, so he was one at 40s. Thongshai Zhaidi at 40-1 as well. Yeah. I think it's underrated. And I quite like Richard Green at 80-1 as well. He's got a little bit of form here, Richard Green. So those three were probably closest away from my actual picks.
I'll be a bit frustrated if Carlton, Robert Carlton, wins. I've backed him a few times, and he's got a good finish to his name here a few years ago. So he was on my mind. If Jacqueline wins, I'm going to be very angry. I think Marcel CM's worth watching a bit. He could be coming back to a bit of form.
He played really well last week.
He did.
Let's move on. Let's have a look at... Here we go. Here we go, Mike.
Back to the US.
Back
in the US. Well, that's USSR, isn't it?
It is. It's close enough.
Born in the USA.
14-1 joint favourites here. Jimmy Walker and Matt Kuchar for the Fries.com Open. Hideki Matsuyama and Hunter Mahan, both 20s. 25-1. Brant Snedeker, Brooks Koepka and Graeme DeLatte. 28-1. Cameron Tringali. And 35s and bigger the remainder. As we've mentioned, the break almost non-existent.
No.
It does seem
it's
like...
It's less than the break in the jump season over here, isn't it?
It is. It seems like there's only 2 minutes since we were bemoaning not selecting Billy Horschel in the Tour Championship.
Yeah.
And now we're back at it on the PGA Tour as the 2014-2015 season starts in earnest.
I like
with
it though, Dave, don't you?
Fries.com.
What do you think?
I get bored on a Sunday night without the golf on.
I miss it. I know we're being slightly flippant, but
we are.
It's good to have it back, I think.
Yeah.
And I like the way that the season ends properly with the Tour Championship now. So I've got to like it.
As Tiger says, it is what it is. And there's a chance
wise words
here,
by the Tiger.
There's a chance here for the punters to catch the bookmakers cold because you can look at this two ways. You can look at this to say there's no form on offer, there's no course form on offer, it's difficult, we don't know what these web.com graduates are going to do. Or you can look at it and say compilers in the same boat. So we might be able to,
we might get them
this week.
Yeah.
It is a new venue for this year's championship. Cordoval had hosted for the previous four seasons, but Silverado Resort and Spa takes over as the tournament host this time round. And it's a par 72 that measures 7,200 yards. So not a long golf course by modern day standards. But apparently, Mike, the greens are pretty tough here.
Oh, are they?
Apparently. Johnny Miller, who co-owns the property, and he renovated it in 2011 as well, says that the greens remind him of Augusta in terms of they are tough green complexes and they can run quickly as well. Mm. So quick on the stimp meter. He made a few changes as well in 2011, replaced the Kikuyu grass with Ryan Bluegrass. Basically, in a nutshell, this is a resort golf course with quick greens.
Yes. You'd imagine there'd be plenty of birdies.
You'd think there will be plenty of birdies. I think the key to success here will be the putting, number one, and scrambling, number two.
Yeah.
I think those are going to be keys to success.
Yes.
It's good for the web.com tour graduates as well, because everyone plays on a level playing field.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's true. Yeah, there's no course experience to speak of.
Yeah.
I've got two speculative picks. What about you?
Me too. It's a golf tournament. I'm not going to be getting that heavily stuck into.
No, a new course and a bit of a break for the players. You're right. It's a little bit tricky, isn't it? I was interested to see the likes of Matt Kuchar and Lee Westwood are here actually, and Patrick Reed, Hunter Mahan, Jimmy Walker. Quite a few Ryder Cuppers here, isn't there?
Yeah.
More than you'd have expected for a very early season event on what we believe is a resort course.
Cheap dollars, I suppose. Here.
Yeah, it's a good way of getting off to a good start, isn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Brendan Steele's my first pick, Dave.
Okay.
Brendan Steele at 100-1, a Californian. I just was intrigued by his form at the back end of last year, and I thought he was building up to a win. Didn't quite get there, but his last four events read pretty well. He was 25th in the Barracuda, which is a little bit of a birdie fest. Top 60 in the PGA, then a couple of 50s around about that in the playoffs. So not jumping out as being someone who's going to be a short price in this event, which is why he's 100-1. But I think he can put well, Steele. He hits it a long way, which might be important here. He's from California. He's 100-1, a past winner on tour, and had a decent season last year around four top tens. I saw a couple of interesting performances from him in the last season. I'm hoping he starts this one bang on form in his native state.
Yeah, I like that. Brendan Steele, 100-1 here with William Hill. Are you playing a point each way or are you going half each way?
I think I'll go a point and a half win and half a point place on all my selections the whole week.
Okay, okay. I'm going with a guy that I thought would be on your mind here as my headline selection, Richard Stirney.
I did look at him, Dave. Yeah, yeah, he played well, didn't he, on the web.com tour?
He did, and he played well last week. Tied sixth in last week's Dunhill Links. He's got his PGA Tour card now as well, so he will be lucky. He will definitely be looking to make a hot start because you bank those dollars early, you keep your PGA Tour card, you don't have to
worry about it.
Yeah, worry about it for the rest of the season.
Good player.
And yeah, very good player. I know you really like him as a player, Mike. And he's, even though he's not got that much experience on the PGA Tour, he did finish solo runner-up in the third of the web.com tour finals events recently.
Yeah. He could have won that, actually.
He probably should have won that. And comes into this on the back of a tied six that we mentioned at the Dunhill Links. A big game. I like him to get off to a hot start on the PGA Tour. Worth reminding people, he did finish fourth in the Cadillac Championship on the PGA Tour in 2014 as well. I think he's a big-time player, Richard Stoerner, who could make a serious impact on this tour over the course of the next 12 months.
Absolutely.
So can start this week 66-1.
But for injuries in the last few years, he would have been a better known player, I think, as well. So I get that as well. Another player who's had injuries problems, Dave, is my second selection, Scott Piercy, who had an abbreviated season last time round, but finished his short season very well with a 25th in Canada. He did miss the cut in the PGA, but was then 12th in the Wyndham. So he'll be chomping at the bit, really keen to get off and running this year and have a good season now he's fit again. A guy who hits the ball a long way, who's competed in decent events, won a couple of times on tour, won in Reno Tahoe, not a million miles from here, where you've got to score low in Nevada. So I just think that Piercy is an interesting proposition. A fired up Piercy at 66-1 catches my eye. He's the type of player who knows how to win, and I like that.
Yeah, I do as well, and I think he's made for these sort of conditions.
These
Scott
are his
Piercy.
Kind of this is his the, kind of land, isn't it? This?
Definitely bread and butter for Piercy. 66-1 Scott Piercy. My second and final selection here. I'm going half a point each way on both these players this week. I'm going with Sangmoon Bae as my second selection at 125-1. Taking a chance with a strong putter, because putting is his forte, really. And I think that will be key this week. Very talented player, 6 top 25s last season on tour. Does really blow hot and cold. It can be feast or famine with Sangmoon Bae. I think he's got a big future, though, ahead of him. And he's priced alongside non-winners that don't have his real talent or scope for improvement either. So I'm going with Sangmoon Bae at 125-1 in this field.
I get that. And he's got decent form in California, I think, Dave, as well, hasn't he? He's played well here a few times. So, no, I get that. That's my picks.
Yeah, my picks too. I am interested in watching these web.com tour graduates, the rookies this season. A few of them actually caught my eye, a couple.
Who were your nearest to picking then?
One of them that was underpriced, in my opinion, has definitely been found in the market by Mark Adsett, our compiler. Adam Hadwin, who's 66-1, a Canadian with a big game.
Top of the earnings, wasn't he?
He was, and he played really well in those final four events in the three of the four events in the web.com tour finals. So I like him. Another guy who will definitely be on my radar this week is Tony Finau, who is has a big game. He's progressed through the ranks. He actually won the Stonebreak Classic in August, and he was 12th in the web.com final standings. He's 125-1, which is a little bit on the short side. I know it seems weird at 125s, but it is, given that I've put up Sangmoon Bae at the same price, who is a winner on tour. He's come through a lot of the Gateway Tours, been on the Hooters Tour and so on and so forth. But he came through qualifying in 2013 for the web.com tour, has gone back-to-back, so progressed quickly through those ranks. And he's a real powerhouse. He actually got offered basketball scholarships.
Did he?
But decided to turn pro at the age of 17 and progress through the ranks instead. So he went pro at 17. He's now 25 years old. It's taken him 8 years to get to this point. But I think he's got a big game. So Tony Finau at 125-1, maybe one to watch this week.
Very good. I'll be keeping an eye on him, Dave. Yeah. Any more of those? Or was that your main?
They're my main two that I'm from the web.com tour graduates. As far as the head of the betting was concerned, Mike, I did like Walker a lot at 14s. I know it might be a little bit short, but won this event last year.
Yeah.
I'm beginning to think that he's not the maybe not the most talented player in the field. I know Matt Kuchar is on the same mark there, but he definitely deserves to be co-favourite.
Do you think
this week.
So?
I don't
really like anyone at the top of the market too much, I have to say, Dave. I was looking at people like, I thought David Lingmerth was interesting at treble figure odds. He finished the web.com tour quite well and has had some decent turnouts on the main tour, hasn't he? Russell Knox is creeping around. He's a bit interesting at 66, isn't he?
He's very interesting. I think he was very, very close to being a pick.
Was he?
Finished the season in decent form.
He did, yeah.
And he is a fantastic scrambler and good putter. I like Russell Knox a lot. I think there's a lot of upside to backing him at 66-1 in a field like this.
It's not that, absolutely. Yeah, he was on my mind. Colt Nost is 125-1, similar kind of thing. And a guy that comes out of nowhere sometimes to produce a good finish and win is Scott Stallings. He's about 125-1 or bigger. He just seems to win out of nowhere. So I always have my eye kind of on him slightly. It's going to be an interesting event, a bit of a learning experience in terms of some of the new boys, see what the course is like. We're learning on that as well, aren't we, really? Yeah. So I've only got the two main picks, and they're both decent prices.
One pro that I thought was interesting at the top of the betting, Brant Snedeker.
Yes.
He needs to have a better season, doesn't he, Snedeker? He will have been a little bit disappointed with the way his 2014 panned out in the end. But
he was in decent form though, wasn't he?
He was prior to those miscuts in the.
Yeah.
He didn't play well in the playoffs when he was trying to. There's a lot of pressure on him trying to get in that Ryder Cup team.
Yeah.
Prior to that, he'd had three straight top 15s.
And then
puts really well.
Puts like a dream. Yeah.
So he was the one at the top of the betting that I might have gone for, but 25-1, right price.
Yeah, bang on the price. Yeah, you could. Yeah, absolutely. You're not a massive value proposition, I don't think, at that. So is that us done?
It is. I'm looking forward to this week. Let's recap the picks then, and we'll start off. Well, who's the player you don't want to win before we recap?
The player I don't want to win, I think, would be, I'm just looking at, in the US, probably Knox. Yeah. Although I might, or Lingmerth, one of those two. And in Europe, I was going to say Matteo Manassero, actually, but you picked
can still
him.
Say
so, I'd be annoyed if Jacqueline won, actually. Jacqueline, I'll say.
Yeah, I'd be annoyed if Mikko Ilonen won in Portugal, definitely.
Yeah.
And in America, I suppose Adam Hadwin. If he'd have been 100-1 in this field, I'd have gone with Adam Hadwin.
What price was he again, Dave?
66.
Tiny bit short.
It's a bit short. So maybe him in America.
How many times have we said a bit short in this podcast?
Lots of times.
Yeah.
Lots of times.
Should have a meter running them up for charity.
Yeah, we need to throw something in the almost like a swear
We've
box.
Got to think of another cliche, but haven't we? A bit short jar. I'm also, Dave, I have to say, so they're my don't want to wins. I'm going to have a look at the SAS Championship on the Champions Tour as well. I might tweet something on that.
At D. Kellner and at M. Grenham to follow us via Twitter. Let's recap the picks then, starting with the three in Portugal.
I forgot to recap the picks. I was done. I was getting my coat on there.
You had the headset off out the door.
Yeah. I was just getting my bus ticket out. So where are we starting? We'll start in Portugal. A point win, half a point place on all mass selections this week. Pablo Larrazabal, number one in Portugal, 40-1. Felipe Aguilar, 125s. Henny Otto at 100s.
I'm going with a point each way on George Kutsaya at 33s. Point each way Robert Jan Derksen at 66-1. Like him a lot. Half a point each way Matteo Manassero at 100-1.
And in the US, in the fries.com, I'll go the same 1 point, half point place. Brendan Steele at 100s and Scott Pearcey at 66.
Yeah, just two picks for me as well there, and half a point each way on both. Richard Sterney at 66-1 and Sangmoon Bae at 125-1. You can go now. You're released.
Bye.
You're released. Thank you for listening to the podcast, folks. And myself and Mike will be back next week. Follow us on Twitter. Mike will, I'm sure, tweet about the Champions Tour golf this week as well. So at D. Kellner and at M. Grenham to follow us on Twitter. And we'll speak again soon.
Dave.
Goodbye.
Do you think that podcast was a bit short?
It's a little bit shorter than usual, isn't it? We're rushing here. Let's go. Thank you for listening, folks, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.